Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast. Shout out to the underdogs, my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that might have accidentally found the show. You've made it to the right place if you want to get personal about the news and the culture. Please enjoy this mini episode of the Gregory Neesmith Show. Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. Shout out to all the underdogs in Harlem, in New York City, and around the world who go on this journey with us and with me every week, live in the studios of WHCR 90.3 FM, the voice of Harlem, from noon to 2 p.m. And it's not only a radio show, it's also a podcast and a video show and so much more. And with that, you know what we do here every week. We take politics, we take culture, we take personal development, and then we put it all up in a blender, we mix it all up, and then it spits out a special delivery of underdog stuff. And you know, we talk the unlanguage here, the unavoidable, the underrated, the unjust, the unconventional, the unbelievable, the unsaid, you know, underdog stuff. And as always, I'm grateful to take you on that journey. Your host, Gregory Neesmith, entrepreneur, content creator, consultant, leadership coach, political commentator from time to time, activist, and overall into spreading special stuff. And we're going to hopefully do a little bit of that today, too. And a disclaimer, this ain't CNN. Not that there's anything wrong with CNN. This ain't Fox News. This ain't the New York Times. This is the Gregory Neesmith Show. They cover the news. They commentate about the news. But here, the difference is we do that, and then we also get personal about it. So let's get personal about the news and the culture. Let's get into it. I like to make sure that I'm as hopefully as transparent as possible, keep you guys in the loop on how things are going. And so I'll be very open and say today's one of those days where I woke up in a bit of a funky mood. You ever have one of those days? You're tired. You're feeling a little off balance, frustrated about some different relationships you got going on in your life, questioning whether you're doing things right. Body's a little sore. You just off. I'm a little off today. And it was one of those mornings where part of me was just like, should I call out today? I'm, you know, one of those days where you just want to, I wanted to just pull the covers back over me and just lay in bed and just be in my feelings. So, yeah, I'm feeling a little off, and then also there's stuff going on in the news and the culture that has me thinking like the world's turned upside down. But I get to keep going. And as Nicole just said on the Facebook Live, she goes, I should go see Black Panther. That will help fix my mood and get me in the right mood. So speaking of Black Panther, it's Black History Month. A month where we get to celebrate Black folks in this country and all that we've done to play our part in attempting to make this country the best it can be. Even at times when this country doesn't see the best in us. And Black Panther has been a big deal this month. And so, yeah, I'm caught up in all the hoopla too and hype. Black Panther. Let's play a little clip.
The Black Panther Party calls for freedom and power to determine our destiny. The Black Panther Party calls for full employment for all our people. The Black Panther Party calls for an end to the capitalistic exploitation of our community. The Black Panther Party calls for decent housing for all people. The Black Panther Party calls for an educational system that will tell us the true facts about this decadent society. The Black Panther Party calls for exemption from the military service. The Black Panther Party calls for an end to police brutality. The Black Panther Party calls for freedom for all political prisoners and prisoners of war. The Black Panther Party calls for trials by members of our peer when we're brought to the court and justice. The Black Panther Party calls for a United Nations plebiscite to determine the will of black people as to their national destiny.
My bad. Did I play the wrong Black Panther clip? You know how I do. I didn't play the wrong Black Panther clip. It's Black History Month. And so I wanted to play a clip of the Black Panther Party that, oh, by the way, started in the 1960s, I believe 1966, the same year as the comic book hero Black Panther was launched by Marvel. And so, given that it's Black History Month, and you know I'm not all about either or, I like both, I wanted to make sure we also shout out the original Black Panther. Now, I'm from Philly. Shout out to the city, brotherly love. And Philly has a bit of a underdog spirit to it. Started as the birthplace of America, birthplace of the United States. And I know it's a birthplace. We're a country with a troubled history and past. I get that. But it's still the place that I currently call home and you call home. And it started Declaration of Independence. We got a Constitution, Benjamin Franklin, all that stuff happened in Philadelphia, my hometown. And then over the years, the financial center of the United States moved up north to Manhattan, now known as the Wall Street area, the financial district. And as we know, New York also became the place of Ellis Island, the Statue of Liberty, the place where folks would come to America to live out the dream, the pursuit of happiness, where all men and women are created equal. I know that's the intention. Clearly, that didn't include everybody. Didn't include blacks and African Americans and slaves. We're still trying to get that right. But all that stuff went to New York. Then when it came time to where we're going to put the government, the federal government, all the branches, the Congress, the executive branch, the judicial branch, are we going to put it in the birthplace? No! They put it in Washington, D.C. All of a sudden, my hometown, where it all started, now all of a sudden, New York is the place for the American dream. It's the place for Wall Street. D.C. is the place where our government sits. Places like Boston, where the Tea Party happens, and there's Harvard University, and where all the great thinkers come from. All of a sudden, Philly just left out. A city that feels like it's got a chip on its shoulder. A city that feels like it has something to prove. A city that may oftentimes, and me being a fellow resident of the city, feel like maybe we just aren't as cool or as special as the folks who are Washington, D.C.ians. Is that how you, what are you, are you a D.C.er? A Washington, D.C., a Washingtonian? I don't know. Bostonian, I know New Yorker's a New Yorker. Help me out. I don't know. What's someone who's from D.C. called? Washington, D.C.er? Anyway, so I get it. So Philly, we got a chip on our shoulder. And then oftentimes, one of the places where I think cities look to get some of their pride or some confidence, when in reality we should get it from things like our politics, our justice system. We should get it from like how we tax people, how free people are, economic freedom, are the community safe? But, you know, we're human and we get some of our pride and confidence from sports. And then so New York, they got two of everything. They got the Rangers and the Islanders, the Nets and the Knicks. They got the Mets and the Yankees. They got a lot of everything. And so when you got 8, 9, 10,000 teams to choose from, just probability says some of those teams are going to win. And so New Yorkers feel like not only are they Ellis Island and the Statue of Liberty, they're champions. They got the Yankees, 27-time champions. They got the Knicks. They got all these winners. They feel like winners. I'm happy to call New York City and Harlem home now. Nothing wrong with that. I feel like a winner, even though I felt like a winner when I was in Philly too. But sometimes folks in Philly just didn't feel like they were that special, weren't winners. And so, and hold on, I'm going to get to a point because you're probably wondering, first of all, I played the wrong Black Panther clip, and I didn't. I did that on purpose. But I'm going to bring this all together in a little bit. Just roll with me. And so, if you would ask a Philadelphian, and they've done different polls, and you ask people on the street and say, who are some of the all-time athletes in Philadelphia? City of brotherly love. People would say Mike Schmidt, who played for the Phillies. They might say Dr. J, that played for the Sixers. They might say the answer, Allen, we're talking about practice, Iverson. They might say Randall Cunningham, one of the first Black quarterbacks in the NFL to have a lot of success and lead a franchise. During a time when people were questioning, could Black men have the intellect along with the right skill set to lead a team and be the face of a franchise, which we knew was ludicrous because we knew they could and they have and they do. And people might say Joe Frazier, famous boxer, might say Wilt Chamberlain. But you know who else would come up on the list when you ask some Philadelphians who are their all-time favorite athletes? Rocky. Rocky Balboa. What? Why Rocky? Nothing. I mean, nothing against Rocky. I've watched like all 17,000 of the Rockies. And then I think Creed was a kind of a remake of it that recently with Michael B. Jordan, who also is in Black Panther. I think he plays the villain in the movie that I will see. But Rocky would come up as one of Philadelphians' favorite all-time athletes. And Rocky's not real. Rocky is a character. And Rocky comes with issues too, right? Rocky. But Rocky's story, this idea of the underdog and about being a champion. And so I get it. Now that I'm older, I understand why Philadelphians would have Rocky be one of the top five or top three athletes of all time in Philadelphia, because Philly wanted a winner. They wanted a champion. They wanted to be seen as winners, as not the underdog, but as the champs, because they had a chip on their shoulder. We have a chip on our shoulder. We're not D.C. We're not Boston. We're not New York. But we had Rocky. And in a way, if you really think about it, it's a bit sad when we as Philadelphians would have to pick a fictional character as part of our pride about how we are champions and how our city produces champions, because we didn't have enough champions in reality. Which brings me to the reason why, when it's time to talk about Black Panther, and we're going to talk about it, that for myself as a Black man, as a Black person, as a Black American, watching my parents, also at times, who grew up during Jim Crow and segregation in the South and South Carolina, when I see this feeling of how special are we, or are people counting us out? I wish I could see more in reality about how great the Black American is. I get it that during a month of Black history, where it almost feels like the biggest thing going on is a fictional movie, as opposed to some of the things that are also a reality. Like,
the Black Panther Party calls for freedom and power to determine our destiny. The Black Panther Party calls for full employment for all our people. The Black Panther Party calls for an end to the capitalistic exploitation of our community. The Black Panther Party calls for decent housing for all people. The Black Panther Party calls for an educational system that will tell us the true facts about this decadent society. The Black Panther Party calls for exemption from the military service. The Black Panther Party calls for an end to police brutality. The Black Panther Party calls for freedom for all political prisoners and prisoners of war. The Black Panther Party calls for trials by members of our peer when we're brought to the court and justice. The Black Panther Party calls for a United Nations plebiscite to determine the will of black people as to their national destiny.
We have the Black Panther movie that's out, and we also have the Black Panther Party that was out. And I'm not about to get into this either or, because we talked about this a few weeks ago. It is a limiting mindset and idea to think that things have to be this or that, that it's reality or fiction, that it's fiction or reality, that it's art imitating life or life imitating art. I don't want to pick between both. I want to have both. But I also understand why sometimes the fiction can get so much hype when there's not as much reality out there to grasp onto. We've been talking about reality versus fiction, fiction versus reality. Which one's better? Which one's worse? I believe we should have both. I mean, it's cool that the Black Panther movie is out, but it's also cool that we acknowledge that there was a Black Panther Party.
The Black Panther Party calls for freedom and power to determine our destiny. The Black Panther Party calls for full employment for all our people. The Black Panther Party calls for an end to the capitalistic exploitation of our community. The Black Panther Party calls for decent housing for all people. The Black Panther Party calls for an educational system that will tell us the true facts about this decadent society. The Black Panther Party calls for exemption from the military service. The Black Panther Party calls for an end to police brutality. The Black Panther Party calls for freedom for all political prisoners and prisoners of war. The Black Panther Party calls for trials by members of our peer when we're brought to the court and justice. The Black Panther Party calls for a United Nations plebiscite to determine the will of black people as to their national destiny.
And that's Huey Newton, one of the co-founders of the Black Panther Party that was started in the 1960s, talking about what the Black Panther Party was all about. Also, the land of Wakanda. I believe that is the fictional location of where all the Black Panther stuff takes place. And that's cool. It's aspirational. It's inspiring. As I talked about, it's more of the mirror of arts and entertainment, especially for black folks, as opposed to the window, which is cool, right? It doesn't have to be either or. We can have that and we can be excited about it. But also, during this month of celebrating our history, in reality, there's been some kingdoms, metaphorically, that have flourished or at least attempted to in the United States that we can look to for inspiration about how to live in reality today. And one of those places was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, back in the 1920s.
Back in the early 1900s, Tulsa, Oklahoma was a city exploding with opportunity. With the discovery of oil, the money that flowed into Tulsa made it one of America's wealthiest boom towns. Some of the town's newfound riches landed in the hands of Tulsa's black residents, many of whom worked for white employers. But because blacks were unwelcome in white-owned stores, they brought their hard-earned wages back to their own community, a community known as Greenwood. There they built up a thriving business district that was so successful, it was called the Black Wall Street of America.
If you want to put up a business, that was a place to put it up. There were theaters, barbecue places, grocery stores, jewelry shops, shoeshine parlors. I mean, all black businesses, all up and down to Greenwood.
And we had our everything in those days. We had our plumbers, our electricians, our builders.
Everybody owned their own businesses and everybody was making money.
So during Black History Month, a month where a lot of folks are excited about Black Panther, and that's all good, I want to make sure that we take a moment to acknowledge one of the other kingdoms, not just the kingdom of Wakanda, but how about Tulsa, Oklahoma, Black Wall Street, which once was a thriving area located in North Tulsa, where 9,000 middle and upper class African Americans lived. It was a place where it was a city inside a city, had its own post office, police force, school systems, two newspapers, theaters. But unfortunately, in 1921, when there was a rumor of an encounter of a black man and a white woman in an elevator in South Tulsa, that would eventually lead to riots and what some might call an actual terrorist attack, where the white residents of Tulsa over a few days and literally most of it over a period of about 24 hours looted, rioted, attacked, murdered, injured the black residents of Black Wall Street. And it's been reported that when that happened, about 300 black folks were killed, 800 wounded, 8,000 people left homeless. And the homeless thing, speaking of homes, what also made Black Wall Street special was that a lot of the people there also were homeowners. And it was reported that there was a lot of friction between the community in Black Wall Street and some of those who weren't that affluent, some of the whites who weren't making good money. And there was also some jealousy in that. And no altercation between one man and one woman should lead to 300 people dying, 800 wounded, and 8,000 people left wounded, left homeless. And today, that community that once thrived back in the 1920s, it had a bit of a reboot in the 30s and 40s. Then desegregation came. There were also some highway and municipality projects that kind of destroyed that area. And now, today, that part of Tulsa, Oklahoma is nowhere near what it once was in the 1920s. And there's still talk of trying to revive it and bring it back. And so it's cool. You know, we can be interested in the Kingdom of Wakanda. But I'm also interested in the fact that there's now a goal of black leaders to bring 100 businesses back by 2021 on the 100th anniversary of those riots back to North Tulsa, back to the area that was once called Black Wall Street. I wanted to, during the month where we celebrate our history and during the month where Black Panther is getting all the attention, wanted to make sure that we took a moment to acknowledge the Black Panther Party. And while we all want to become members of Wakanda, I want folks to be mindful of there's another land that we can dream of that was in reality a place that we might want to go, and that's creating more Black Wall Streets going forward. Thank you for listening to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast, where we get personal about the news and the culture. And as always, I leave you with my favorite quote: underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.